I'll be preaching this morning from 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning with verse 17. There are all kinds of different forms of literature and books in the Bible. There's poetry, there's histories, there's all kinds of stories, there's the Gospels, there's apocalyptic literature that sounds like it's written by crazy people. And then there are the letters that we have in the New Testament. And this particular letter was written to a large group of churches that were at the time in what's modern day Turkey. And it was written to address some of the issues that they were all facing, kind of just general issues like how to get along with each other and how to live in an ever-changing world and trying to figure out being a Christian and following Christ was so new. No one had really ever done it before, and so they're trying to figure out how to do it. And so this letter comes to them as kind of just some encouraging words and trying to let them know that everything will be okay. It won't necessarily be easy, but it will be okay if we try to work it out together. And so in 1 Peter, the first letter of Peter, chapter 1, verses 17 through 23, and it reads like this. If you invoke as Father the one who judges all people impartially according to their deeds, live in reverent fear during the time of your exile. You know that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your ancestors, not with perishable things like silver or gold, but with precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without defect or blemish. He was destined before the foundation of the world, but was revealed at the end of the ages for your sake. Through him you have come to trust in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are set on God. Now that you have purified your souls by your obedience to the truth, so that you have genuine mutual love. I'm going to read that again because it's important. Now that you have purified your souls by your obedience to the truth, so that you have genuine mutual love, love one another deeply from the heart. You have been born anew, not of perishable, but of imperishable seed, through the living and enduring word of God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Trust is foundational to our relationship with God and, quite frankly, with everyone else that we have relationships with. If you don't have trust, you don't have really a relationship at all to speak of. And our relationship with God and with one another as the church or the body of Christ is very similar. We must have trust. And it's our trust in God that brings us together as the church. It's what is foundational in many respects to our relationship with one another and with Christ. So we trust in Christ, and we trust in what he told us was truth and was true, and we follow his teachings. We trust that what he said is actually going to work out the way he said it was going to work out. We trust in his forgiveness, that we have the forgiveness of our sins. We trust in the grace that he offered to us. We trust in his descriptions of God and God's mercy, and we trust that those things are true. And we trust that if we do what Christ asked us to do and live the way that Christ asked us to live, that we will know God in a really profound way, and maybe we'll be wiser, and maybe we will know love a little bit deeper, and maybe our lives will be blessed in a way, not that everything will work out perfectly for us in our lives, but that we will know God and be blessed by that, and our hearts will be full, and our relationships will be better, and we'll live better in this life together as we follow Christ. Trust, that foundational trust, is easy to talk about, but it's often difficult to do. Maybe you have had a job where your boss says to you, you know, I trust that you're going to do this, and so I'll give you A, B, C, and D, and it needs to be done by next Thursday. And I trust that you'll get it done. But the next thing you know, your boss is following behind you, double-checking, triple-checking, quadruple-checking everything that you have done. And you realize your boss really doesn't trust that you're going to get it done. But you ask him or her, and she'll, oh, yeah, I trust that you'll get it done. But then they're making you crazy by not trusting you. Trust is not necessarily easy, especially when we've been hurt before, when people have let us down, when we have discovered what happens when we trust that someone is going to do what they say they will do and they don't, and then our lives are challenged, or our jobs are challenged, or something terrible happens and our hearts are broken, or things like that. Trust is difficult once it has been broken, and then it's difficult for us to trust again. Several years ago, it seems like a lifetime now, I used to be very heavily involved in church recreation and summer camping. And back in the early 90s, and it was back when all of the trust falls and things like that, the group building exercises were being used by corporations and at camp to build trust and teamwork and all of this sort of thing. And so I would go every year to get certified as one of these instructors. And the thing that we would do is you'd go through all of these safety protocols, and you'd learn how to keep the group moving together and leadership and all that sort of thing. Well, blah, blah, blah. And well, anyway, so at the beginning of the week, you would be thrown together with a group of 8 to 10 strangers that you're all there for the same reason. You're going to have to learn how to lead all of these trust activities. And I was going to have to lead them with 13, 14, and 15-year-olds. So safety was a big issue for me. But what we would do is we would meet each other, and then our instructor would immediately start talking to us about a trust fall. Now, a trust fall, have you, any of you ever done a trust fall? Yeah. Well, a trust fall is something where a group gets together, and you choose something about the height of a picnic table or maybe a little higher, and a person stands up on that ledge, and you stand a particular way, and you fold your arms a particular way. And then after you go through a protocol of communication, you fall into the waiting arms of the people in your team. So you're standing up there, complete strangers behind you, not looking at them, thinking to yourself, I'm going to fall back into the waiting arms of these people. Well, of course, the instructor had gone through in great detail how we were supposed to stand, how we were supposed to have our arms intertwined and interlaced and standing there ready, and assured us that with 10 of us trying to catch this one person, we're not having to bear the full weight of this person, that it'll be equally distributed. We'll all be able to catch this person, and it's a matter of trust. You're just going to have to trust yourselves that you can catch this person, and this person is going to have to trust that you'll catch them. You had, and the thing about it is, it wasn't just that you were going to have to fall and be caught or have to catch someone. You had to follow all of the instructions. If you didn't fall properly, if you gave up halfway through and bent your body, then your bottom would be right in the middle, and there's no way that that two people could catch you as you're falling through the air. If you walked away from the line and took your arms away, then of course someone would fall. You had to follow all of this so no one would get hurt. And we would often ask, it was always a question at the beginning of the week, why do we do this first? Can't we do something else that so we can get to know each other a little bit better, and I can really see if these people are trustworthy? And the instructor will say, no, we have to start with this because the rest of the week is going to be built on the trust that we build in the next 20 minutes. So, of course, that's what we did. And it was great. The first year I went through it was great. No problems. Everybody was caught. We were laughing. We were joking. And it was a wonderful experience. And it was true for the rest of the week. Our instructor could get us to do group activities and to talk to one another and to enjoy the experience, because we had proved to one another at the beginning of the week that we were not going to let each other fail through the week. We trusted each other because we caught each other in the first 30 minutes we had met one another. Trust is an amazing, amazing gift when we have it. We're brought together in trust. We're bound together as a group of people, which is so critical to our understanding of what it means to follow Christ. We are not in this by ourselves. We are a group. We are a group. We are the body of Christ as we come together and work together for mission and ministry. So we're bound together in our trust of Christ, but also in our trust of one another. We trust that the process will work. And if we follow the process, what Christ has taught us to do, then we will be able to share this experience and we will grow together and minister together and have great success together. So as we are bound together in the trust of Christ, one of the primary risks for us is love. Love is a great risk. If you cannot listen to the radio of any era without hearing music dealing with love. Love is one of those things that requires a great deal of risk and a great deal of trust. But love is indeed what brought us together. It's what brought Christ to us in this world. God loved the world so much that he sent Christ to us. Love binds us together. We are bound together in Christ's love for the world and for us. Jesus knew we needed love and we needed to love each other. It's one of the last things he told his disciples as he was getting ready to get arrested and taken away to the cross. He said to his disciples, "For the love of God, love each other. This is a commandment I'm giving to you. It's not an option. I'm going to go away. I'm going to get arrested. Terrible things are going to happen, and you're going to do terrible things to me and to one another. And the only thing that's going to get you through it is love. You're going to have to love one another. Love, 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 love one another. It's the only thing that can keep a motley crew of people like the church together is love. As Paul tells us, the greatest spiritual gift we have is love. Love covers a multitude of sins. Love gets us through. Love is what binds us together and can help us deal with one another. So the love that the people in Peter are hearing about, this mutual love, this deep, abiding love, it's what's going to get them through the difficult times that they're facing. It's going to help the people who have come from all different parts of the world together to these areas and have said, okay, I'll follow Christ even though I don't speak your language and even though my background is different from yours and even though I see the world differently than you. What's going to bind us together is this mutual love that we have found in Christ and that we're going to share with one another. Love, 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 love. And so these churches are hearing from the people who have gone before them and said, look, you're going through very difficult times, but you're going to have to love each other. We've been through it, and now you're going through it, and it's what's going to keep you on track. It's what's going to keep you together in the most difficult times, that you love one another. In difficult situations, we must find a way to love. We have to find a way to let love lead us and motivate us as we come together and try to be the church. If it works, if we follow, if we trust these words, and if we trust this process, we will come find that our trust is even deeper in God and in one another, and our love for one another is far greater than we could have imagined. The first year that I went and was trained and certified and all of this trust fall sort of thing was great. As I said, everyone got caught. the second year was not so fun. There was we once again were thrown together with a group of strangers and trying to figure out, you know, sizing each other up, all that sort of thing. And there was that one guy, that one guy that just was never standing with the rest of us, wasn't speaking to any of us, and was standing with his arms folded the whole time our instructor is walking through all of the safety protocols and all the ways that we're supposed to do things and trying to keep us all together. And he was just standing there with so much skepticism on his face, and you're just thinking to yourself, oh my goodness, this is gonna be bad. And let me tell you, it was bad. He did not trust anything that the instructor told him, let alone the rest of us who were going to be catching him. He was very solitary, very singular. As the week went on, we realized that he was a very self-contained sort of person and relying on a group of people to get him through the different obstacle courses and things that we were doing was just not in his nature. And so why he was there, I don't know. I think his company probably sent him hoping that it would be broken. He would have a breakthrough and learn something new. But anyway, so he's gone through all of these safety protocols just like the rest of us. It's been good. And he gets up to do his trust fall, and he does everything wrong. The first thing he says is, I know you're not going to catch me. I know you're not going to catch me. I know you're not going to catch me. After having caught everyone else in the group. And he says, and so you could just feel the lack of trust in him. And as he went to fall backwards, instead of keeping himself straight, he jackknifed, which meant it was really heavy to catch. And the other thing is, he let his arms fly. So he let his arms fly, and there were two people in the way of his elbows. One of them was me, and one of them was the person standing directly across from me. So I ended up with a black eye and a swollen nose, and the person across from me ended up with a broken nose. All because this one person in our group did not trust all of the protocols that were laid out for him, that would keep him safe, that would lead to success, and two of us ended up with bloody noses and black eyes. Now, this can be a good metaphor for us whenever we forget what Christ has tried to teach us, when we have forgotten the protocols that Christ has set for us. The church can end up with broken noses, bloody noses, and black eyes. Because whenever we forget what Christ has asked us to do, the loving one another, the trusting, the building in of our faith together, we can end up hurting each other. Love does not cover the multitude of sins that we have. And so our disagreements can lead to anger, which can lead to a lack of love, and it can lead to hatred. It can lead to gossip. Rather than loving one another and keeping our mouth shut and holding our tongues, we can break through and say what we feel we need to say. Rather than forgiving one another and loving one another, we can think to ourselves, we want to seek revenge and to hurt someone as we have been hurt. And we find that we really don't trust in God or trust in Christ as profoundly as we thought. We find love is hard to do, and our community suffers, and our mission suffers, and we struggle to live together when we don't trust and we don't love. But when we do, we find that we're able to risk. We're able to stand together and to say, I'm going to give it a try. I'm going to try what Christ has asked me to do. I'm going to try what the early church wise people taught us to do, and I'm going to try to love, and I'm going to try to trust. And the more we do that, the more we risk, and the more we succeed in that risk, and we find that the love is true, the more we're able to do it the next time, the easier it comes, the easier it comes, the easier it comes. And the more we struggle together, and the more that we are honest with each other and we trust one another, the deeper our love grows for one another as it comes from Christ. So my friends, today, as we go from here, I would say to you, love each other deeply. Love each other profoundly. Trust in Christ as Christ leads you together in your own faith community. Live into the love that he has given us And may our the body of Christ grow together in love as we trust one another and as we trust in Christ. And then you will know the joy and the risk and the true foundation of our faith. Amen.